Thank you. You can sit down now. Thanks for the slow clap. Do you guys? No, it is not. Do you guys feel the presence of the Lord? And that, like, man, isn't that good? Like, when we come and pray together, like, His Spirit is so thick and tangible. So I'm sorry, I'm, like, feeling a lot of stuff right now in a good way. The leaders prayed over me before we started, and they prayed for, like, passion. And it's like I had all this anxiety, I think, before, and it's kind of channeled into passion, which is going to be interesting. So, all right, so real quick, I'm going to pray real fast, and then we'll get into it. So, dear Lord, I just pray that you would use me tonight to speak to your children. God, I pray that our hearts would be open to what you have to say, and God, that we would hear it, receive it, and act on it. It would change how we live. Amen. All right, if you want to get your Bibles out to Genesis, it's like page 4, Genesis 6, 9 through 22. I mean, just turn a couple of pages, you'll be in there. Yeah, page 4. We're just going to read a little bit from the story of Noah. And somebody shout it out when you're there. There? If you're not there by now, it's 4 pages in, so, I mean, it's pretty quick. All right. Here we go. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God, and Noah had 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Side note, not a very good kid namer. Noah was not. I'm just, Ham and Japheth? Like, how do you yell at your kid when you can't pronounce it like that? Okay, so. Now, the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all the flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you are to make it. The length of the ark is 300 cubits. Its breadth is 50 cubits, and its height is 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark and finish it to a cubit above, and set the door of the ark on its side. Make it with lower, second, and third decks. For behold, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh in which is the breath of life under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall die, but I will establish my covenant. Everyone say covenant. With you, and you shall come into the ark. You, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And everything of all flesh, you shall bring 2 of every sort into the ark and keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female, of the birds according to their kinds, and of the animals according to their kinds, of every creeping thing on the ground according to its kind. 2 of every sort shall come into you to keep them alive. Also take with you every sort of food that is eaten, and store it up. It shall serve as food for you and for them. Noah did this, and he did all that God had commanded him. So you got a little worksheet in your Bible. If you're using your own Bible, you can grab it. It's inside that Bible down there. Just a little disclaimer, not for doodles, for notes. That's why it's called a note sheet, not a doodle sheet. Okay, yeah, Aaron's preaching on that one. First, I just want to say God saw the wickedness of man. So man had gotten real bad, and Noah was the last righteous man on earth, which is real bad. And he called on Noah to build this ark. And he said, Noah, I'm going to make this covenant with you, which covenant means like contract. I'm making like a promise with you. And he said, you do this, I will keep you and your family alive, and everyone else is going to go. And another term that we kind of throw around as Christians today is a calling. And so I'm going to use that word a lot today. First, I want to say that I believe everyone who is in Christ has a calling, and it will be for the work of furthering the kingdom of God. So you guys can jump on down to that first blank is, I have a calling. pretty simple in case you didn't see it coming. So I believe everyone has a calling, and it will be for furthering the kingdom of God. So I want to tell you a story a little bit about my calling that I feel like the Lord showed me. And callings can come in several ways, just real quick. It come in dreams. It can come with words from another person who was given a word about you. It can come in a vision that the Lord provides to you. It can come just from in your own mind. So you have to really pay attention, or else you'll miss opportunities where the Lord's speaking to you. So first, my calling, I was in a worship service just on my face, and it was amazing. And the Lord showed me this vision clear as day. And I was standing up on a stage, I'm like an ad guy, so I think about cameras and stuff. We make videos. So the camera was looking over my shoulder, right? And you could see I had a guitar. I was standing in front of a mic, so something like that. And it's looking out, and there are like thousands of people, and I'm like leading worship for these thousands of people. And from that time like forward, this was 10 years ago. I was 15 years old. From that time forward, it changed everything about how I lived because I wanted to see that come to fruition, and I wanted to do everything possible to see that come to fruition. So I don't know if you guys have noticed, there are not thousands of people in here. I'm about 9 years away from that vision that the Lord gave me. And, you know, I'm leading worship for dozens. And so first, I want to make two quick statements before we, like, really dive into this. One, we pursue the Lord, not our callings. We pursue him first. So I'm going to be talking about callings a lot today, but I want you to recognize he is what we chase first. He gives us dreams, but the ultimate prize is serving him. And the callings are a sacrifice into where you will be serving him, okay? Second, everyone's calling will be a ministry of the body of Christ. It does not necessarily mean it will be your occupation, okay? For a very small percentage of us, it will be our occupation. Pastor Aaron and Pastor Tim are examples of that. I will say, American culture is that if I have a calling and a ministry, it is that I should be paid for it, and that is my occupation. I firmly believe that that should not apply to 98% of us. We should be in the marketplace, and we should still have a ministry. Okay? So when we talk about this calling here in a minute, I want you to keep that in mind. It doesn't mean that you can still be an electrician, a contractor. You can make video games, but you can have a ministry. I do it every week. I'm not like trying to brag on myself, but I do it every week, and I really feel like this is my ministry. This is my calling right here. And so those callings really give us a sense of direction. It gives us a place to go. And so what we're going to do is we're going to literally stop right now. We're going to take a minute. I want you to flip that paper over, unclick your pen, remove all distractions. We're all just going to close our eyes. There's nothing magical about this. And I really want, if you feel like you already have a calling, when I say that, you say, I know what that is, then that's awesome. I want you to look for more of it because the Lord reveals it in pieces. If he gave you all the details like he gave Noah, then props to you because you have no excuses for messing it up. But for most of you, for me, before I was 15, not even a blip on my radar. Okay, so we're pretty young in here. I want you guys to listen. We're gonna listen to the Lord just for a minute, and we're gonna ask him for a calling. Ask him to tell us what vision he has for our lives. So I'm gonna pray us into that, and we're just gonna take a minute in silence and listen to him. Lord, I just pray that you would speak to our hearts. God, let us feel your spirit. Let us hear your words. Give us visions, even now. Even when we're not expecting it, when there's no music, there's no words, that you would speak to our hearts and reveal more of your plan for our lives. Okay, so I know that was just real quick. We're going to have more time later. I wanted to give you guys a chance to listen because the Lord is already speaking. I wanted to give you a chance to listen to him so that maybe you can apply it to the rest of this if we can. So you've got a calling from the Lord. What's next, right? Really practically. So first, we need to make sure that this is from the Lord, okay? I believe, first of all, that our desires, if we're in his spirit, that our desires will align with his, and the things you want will come into agreement with the things that the Lord wants for you. So it's okay to say, I want to do this, and then you'll check these things to make sure that it aligns with what the Lord wants. So first, check his word. If it does not line up with what's in that Bible in your lap, under your chair, then absolutely that is something that's not of him. So 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 22, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. So second, seek the wisdom of other believers. That's your second blank, by the way, there. The first one was check his word. Second is seek the wisdom of other believers. By the way, you can skip over that, my calling section. We'll fill that out a little bit later. Proverbs 19, 20 through 21, listen to advice and accept instruction, that you may gain wisdom in the future. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. First, a little side note on this one. When you seek the wisdom of other believers, you have to recognize that they're people, they're humans, and they're going to make mistakes, and they were not there when you encountered whatever the Lord told you. So I think it should be a few people that you check that against with and seek their counsel. And if you don't have people, there are leaders all over this room that would be happy to do that for you. I guarantee you, they would love to talk to you about that if you have something that you want counsel on. Ask yourself, can I do it by myself? Can I do it by myself? If you can do it by yourself, I'll argue that you've not fully given it to the Lord. I'm going to say that one more time. If you can do it by yourself, I'll argue that it's not fully been given to the Lord, because he will not give you something that you don't need him to do. I'm going to flip-flop that. The Lord will only give you callings, visions, and dreams that require his strength in order for you to see them through. Is everybody tracking with me? This is very important. Because it's in the weakness, it's in the things that you can't do where the Lord shines through even more. You know what I'm saying? I don't know about you, but I'm not very strong. I'm not smart. I'm not, you know, I need the Lord to guide me. I need the Lord to take me to a place that I can't go by myself. So 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. That last line does not make sense, right? When I am weak, then I'm made strong. The hidden personality there is God. He's the one that comes and bridges that, that makes you strong, because we have to, that's the nature of the Lord's kingdom, is the humble are empowered to be the kings, okay? Think about King David. He was the youngest in the lowest. Think about Gideon. He was the youngest in the weakest tribe. These men became empowered and became the greatest warriors of, like, in history, in the Bible, certainly. So, like I said, I personally, my calling is to lead worship. And my calling is not necessarily to lead worship to thousands of people. That's a promise I believe that the Lord has given me. My calling is to lead worship. And so I'm not the best singer. I'm not the best guitar player. I'm not the best speaker. But what I try to do is I try to say, Lord, this is yours. This is not me. This is not my might. This is yours. And so, yeah, I encourage you. That's our check. First three checks. Make sure it's from the Lord. So the three points in that: check his word, seek the wisdom of other believers, and ask yourself, can I do it by myself? Do I need the Lord to make this happen? Okay? The next part, it probably won't happen tomorrow. Okay? Like I said, I'm coming on 10 years from this dream that the Lord's given me, this calling on my life. But I hold on to it. That's the thing, is I hold on to it. So I'm going to give you a couple quick examples. The Bible doesn't say a number, but it took between 55 and 75 years for Noah to finish the ark and the flood to come. He built, there's a little picture back there. He built that thing for 55 to 75 years, depending on, it just based on when his son was born. We know when his son was born and when the flood came, so it just kind of depends on how old his son was. David waited until he was 30 to become king, and he was anointed years before that. Enough years to be a magician or a musician for the king. A musician for the king. He defeated Goliath and became a war hero, and then was chased around by the King Saul for years before he became an actual king. That's a long time to wait to know you've been anointed to be king and then be chased around by the current king. You know, so Mary, like Jesus's mother, from the joke, from the pickup line, Mary had to wait 9 months to see Jesus. I'll tell you from personal experience that those months are long. They take a long time, and I was not even carrying the baby. And then on top of that, she was promised that he would be God with us, the Savior of the earth. Jesus didn't start his ministry until he was 30. So Mary didn't get to see the fruition of the angel coming to her bed when she's sleeping. She didn't get to see that played out for like 31 years. That's crazy. Abraham and Sarah, I don't know if you guys know them, but they fathered like the two nations that are constantly warring in the Middle East. They were promised that they would have a son, that he would be a father of many nations, and they had to wait 25 years before they had a kid. And they were already stupid old before they were promised, you know. So, and then do you guys know the story of Joseph with the dream code? You know, he had those dreams about his whole family bowing down to him. He had several dreams about that, and he was probably a young teenager, maybe. Before he saw that come through, he was sold into slavery. wrongfully accused of a horrible crime that actually he deserved death for, even though it wasn't true. He was imprisoned for years, and then he became second in command over all of Egypt, which was like the strongest nation in the world at that time. So that's a long time to wait. So just keep that in mind. It's probably not going to happen tomorrow. And I don't want that to discourage you. I want that to encourage you, okay? Because here's the next part. What can you do today? This is where the rubber hits the road. When you hear your calling from the Lord, I think that if it's truly, if the Lord really spoke to you, it should change how you live. I think it will naturally change how you live if you really encountered His Spirit in that. But like in Noah's time, it was a covenant. A contract is a two-way deal, right? Both parties have to agree and say yes, and then they have to see it through, right? So if you're selling a house, you have to say, yes, I want to sell my house, and the buyer say, yeah, I want to buy it for that much. You both sign it, and then it's the new person's house, okay? In the same way, we have an obligation to meet God on the other side of this promise, this calling that He has put on our lives. And so here's kind of a good verse, Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. It doesn't say wait and it's going to be dropped in your lap, right? Didn't say that. It said seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. So first and foremost, on what can you do today? I want to reference back to last week with what Pastor Aaron was talking about. The first place you should start are these foundational points for being spiritually mature. So we're going to talk about being in the Word, praying, confessing your sins, having fellowship with one another, going to service, having safeguards against your sins, and being a good steward of both of your money, your time, everything. If you want a place to start, you have a calling from the Lord, you need to lock this down. That's like the first, that's ground zero. Because if you don't have a good foundation, this house is not going to stay standing. Okay? So we need to lay this down first. And that's, I really want to encourage you to keep, I hope you have that paper still, because it's good. And if you don't, come talk to me. I'll get you printed one, or talk to Tim or Aaron. I don't know. Next. After we have this foundation laid, I believe that the Lord's going to reveal to you ways that you can start practicing your calling right now where you are, okay? So if you're 12, 13, sitting in the back row, not paying attention, you can practice your calling right now. Seriously. If your calling is to lead worship, for me that meant I went back, I talked to my youth pastor, I said, Pastor Justin, how can I, this is what I feel like the Lord told me to do. He told me to help lead worship. And he said, here's some opportunities. And I said, I'll take them all. Anything you'll give me, I'll take them all. And that didn't just mean time in front of people. That meant time by myself. A lot more time by myself than it meant in front of people. So That goes back to the structure of the kingdom. The humble are made into kings. You have to spend time on your own, on your face. You have to spend time in these things before I'll trust you with the little before I trust you with the big things. Okay? These are the little things. And they're small, but they're so important. And so I hope you're following me with this. For Noah, it meant nailing boards up for that boat, right? For 50 years to 75 years. For David, it meant training in combat, watching sheep. Who knew that was part of it? And drawing, he also hung out in the king's house as a musician. For Mary, like Jesus's mother, it meant raising the only perfect child known to man, which I don't know how you do that. I would love to chat with her about that. but even as like an imperfect person, I can't imagine what it would be like to raise a perfect person, because you would want, okay, sorry. I'm going above your heads right now. So here's my key point, guys. There is a way for you right now to serve the Lord, to serve him inside of your calling. And if you honestly can't creatively think of a way that that would play out, I don't know what your callings are. I'm not even going to venture a guess, because I don't want to put ideas in your minds. I want you guys to come to those yourself. That's why I've been very particular about not saying anything other than my own calling and people in the Bible, because I don't want you guys to think that it's locked into these certain categories that I say, okay? I think the Lord has given you guys creativity in his spirit, and that it's going to be way different than I could even think about. And so if you honestly can't see that place, we're going to have time to talk. You can come and talk to a leader here in a little bit. We'll work on how you can play that out. It may not be as glamorous as you think it should be for you, but you're going to have to invest the time in the places, in the quiet places, in the by yourself places, before you're going to see the glamorous things, because the Lord's going to check your heart first. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to add one more thing before we start wrapping this up. What I'll say about your calling is that it's not going to, you can get this little blip of a piece of a vision. And for me, I drew like a perfect dotted line from point A to point B. I was like, I'm 15 right here. By the time I am 21, I will be right here leading worship for thousands of people. And I drew this like imaginary line in my mind. I was like, okay, that means I do this and this. I go to this university. Then I get hired at whatever church. Then start leading worship. And I made it, right? What I'll say is that the Lord has the craziest, wildest, most exciting plan for your life. And it will be nothing like a straight line, because straight lines are boring. Okay? They are boring. He's going to zigzag you all over the place. And it's going to give you character. It's going to give you strength. It's going to give you faith to trust in him. Okay? So, don't wait until you're qualified. And Tim and the band can go ahead and start coming back up. What we're going to do here at the end, I'm going to have the leaders, we're going to just kind of position yourself around the room. And we're going to talk. We're just going to kind of have like a moment where you can come up and pray with the leader. But what I'd encourage you, there's two points here for response. First, everybody, let's bring it back in. We good? Yeah, yeah? Give me a yeah. There you go. All right. So, first point of response. If you don't feel like you have a calling from the Lord that's specific for you, I want you to listen in these next 5 to 10 minutes that we have. I want you to listen for that. I want you to ask him for that. But then I want you to be silent and listen for it. If you feel like you want prayer for that, then you can come find a leader and they'll be happy to pray with you. But I'd encourage you to seek for that by yourself. Okay? Second, if you know what your calling is, if you know what that promise is on your life, I want you to think through what it is you can do today, tonight, tomorrow morning, tomorrow at school. What can you do to walk this out right now? And if you're drawing a blank, come talk to a leader. Come pray with a leader. We're not going to just say, hey, you should do this. We're going to take it prayerfully and work through that with you. But we also do have, we're aware of opportunities. And so especially Pastor Tim and Pastor Aaron will be aware of opportunities that you can play this out, maybe in this room, maybe in different ministries across town. It may require extracurriculars. I will say, even if you play a sport, you are more than capable of finding the time to play this out, okay? Your school hours, and I'll even throw in the sport, but some of you guys will be like, well, I have to stay at school until 5:30 or 6 o'clock, okay? There's still time in your awake hours to live this out today. So don't wait. All right, can we stand up? We're going to just pray. How you guys feel? Feeling good? Yeah? Okay. No. Leaders, you guys can just spread out. And we'll just, like I said, if you want to talk or pray with a leader, they're around the room. I'm just going to pray and then take some time. Listen to the Lord for your calling and for how you can play it out. God, I just pray that you would speak to our hearts, God. Reveal in us ways that we can serve your kingdom for the better. God, we want to just lay down our lives for you. We want to understand your kingdom. God, I pray that you would find us in our rooms, on our faces, praying to you daily, God. I pray that you would find us in your word. God, we would be seeking your wisdom. We would be seeking your heart. And God, I pray that you would speak to us in callings, speaking to us with visions, and God, that we would act on them. God, it would give us a sense of ownership in your kingdom. I pray that you would bless every one of these students with that tonight. God, we would not leave without being changed. It doesn't have to be a magical moment, but it will be a changing moment. It's in your name we pray. Amen.